Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Thank you, Jesus. Did you bring a Bible?
Yes.
I'm going to keep asking that question because I want to make sure that's before your ears, your heart, and your eyes. This is the only book, even though we're talking about a bookstore, it's great resources to help, but this is the one we stick with. Yes. Amen. All those other tools that we put in people's hands, it amplifies this. It doesn't take away from. It doesn't rob from. And it certainly never, ever, ever eliminates this. Amen. This is the source. This is our Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. Because of that, we can have what it says we can have. We can do what it says we can do. We can be, in fact, what it says we can be. No matter what the devil says. Who cares what he's got to say anyways? He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. No matter what our circumstances say, if you stick around long enough, you'll find out circumstances change. And when God gets involved, man, they can change quickly. Suddenlies. Amen. No matter what our friends or family say. We'll leave that one alone. But we can have what this says we can have. You know why? Because God promised it. And the scriptures tell us that God is a man that cannot and will not lie. Therefore, if he said it, that settles it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, be seated in the house of God, and I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 21 this morning. Matthew chapter 21. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've already mentioned it. I think most of you do know this, and if you've never heard this term before or understood what this is all about, this is what we call Holy Week. From this Sunday to the next Sunday, it's probably one of the most important times for believers. If you know your scriptures and you know the Gospels, not the entirety of the Gospels, but a large portion of the Gospels actually happened during this week period. And think about that. You know, one of the great apostles said, if we had written down everything that Jesus ever taught or did, the libraries of the earth could not contain everything he ever did. And think about what he's been doing since he ascended to heaven. He hasn't stopped working. He hasn't stopped doing. You know, our Hall of Fame chapter in the scriptures in Hebrews, that's still being written today.
Yes.
You know why it's being written? We're here. God's still working. God's still doing. Our faith is still producing what it says it can produce,
right,
according to the scriptures. Amen?
Yes.
So God is still moving. God is still doing.
Thank you, Lord.
And God is here this morning. Amen?
Yes.
So again, it's Holy Week. And of course, this Sunday is what they call Palm Sunday. So that's what I want to deal with this morning. I want to talk to you for a few moments. I want to encourage you and remind you why today is so important to us. And today, though on the calendar they call it Palm Sunday, this is a great picture of how Jesus entered into your life and how Jesus wants to enter into everybody else's life. Amen. So let's go to Matthew 21. You there?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's start with verse 1. It says, and when they drew nigh to Jerusalem and were come to Bethpath unto the Mount of Olives, and sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught, or question, why are you doing this? Who do you think you are? Ye shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. That statement all by itself said, really? All we have to say is God needs us? And they're just going to release it? Well, when you're looking for, you believe, and you walk with, yes. Verse 4. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of that donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. So they placed clothing on the donkey so Jesus could sit upon it. And a great multitude, say great multitude.
Great
And a great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude went before and cried. Went before and then also followed. So Jesus is surrounded, front and back. Cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now go over to Luke. Go over to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Luke 19, we're going to pick up the same account. We're going to deal with this in verse, starting in verse 29. Luke 19, verse 29. And it came to pass that when he was come into Bethpath of Bethany, of Mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against, in which at your entering ye shall see a colt tied, and whereon yet never a man sat. So today that would be kind of likened to a brand new car. Go get me a brand new Mustang. For all you Ford people. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask, Why do you loose him? Thus thou ye say unto them, Behold, the Lord has need of him. And when, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. Imagine that. When God tells you to go do something, he knows what he's talking about. Yes. And as they were loosening the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, Why loose thou the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of. And they brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh even now into the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began rejoicing and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works, say mighty works. Mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Master, rebuke thy disciples. Yeah, that's what happened when religion shows up in church. When somebody's getting loose, set free, excited, people get all religious-y. How dare they? Don't they know they're supposed to be quiet and reserved? Nah, somebody's on fire right now. Amen. Verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Thank you, Jesus. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept over the city, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. One more passage. Go over to John chapter 12. Gospel of John chapter 12. Same account, starting in verse 12, so John 12, 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found the young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, children of Zion. Behold, the king cometh, sitteth on a donkey's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. In other words, they were here. They're part of this procession right now. They've gotten a glimpse of who Jesus is. So they're following. This is why this giant procession is going. This is why there's a lot of rejoicing, why they're celebrating. Verse 18, and for this cause, the people also met him. For they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees thereof said among themselves, perceive ye how ye perceive nothing. In other words, see ye how nothing prevails. Nothing comes to pass. They're trying to minimize this. They're trying to talk this down, but they're irritated and frustrated because they can't figure out why are these people so excited. Behold, the world is gone after him. Oh, they're ticked off. The world has gone after them. After him, Jesus. Amen. So I want to talk to you just for a few moments about Palm Sunday. Why today? What makes today so special? Why is this a day of great rejoicing for us? Why is this a day that, you know, yes, it's marked on a calendar, but at the same time, this should be a day that we should be rejoicing and celebrating each and every day of our Christian walk, reminding ourselves who our Jesus is. Just as he entered into this city, the triumphant entry, so too, you know, if you're here, if you've met Jesus, if you've bowed your knee and heart to him, he entered your life the same way.
Yes.
Amen. So there's things in this story, there's things in this account, because not only is this a reminder of what he's done, but this is one of the great preaching teaching points that you have to go evangelize the lost, your family, your coworkers, those who don't know Jesus, those who have never met Jesus, those who are living out there. It doesn't take much to preach today.
Right.
Oh, it takes the anointing. But I'm talking, it doesn't take much to preach hope. You start preaching hope, you're going to get some people's ears.
Yes.
You start preaching about deliverance and healing, you're going to get some people's ears.
Yes.
You start talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, you're going to get some people's ears.
Yes.
Because as they look around today, there's nothing but fear, chaos, you know, worry, what's going to happen, what's going to happen to the dollar, what's happening to gas prices, what's happening to oil, Iran, Iraq, Israel, what's going on? You know, I didn't vote for him, I did vote for him, I don't know what's going on, which end is up? Yeah, it doesn't take much to get people's attention today. When you start bringing hope, when you start bringing truth, you're going to get people's ears. Amen. So on Palm Sunday, there's some things that are going on in this account, and we read these three different gospel accounts for a reason, because the things that are going on, it's a picture of how Jesus entered our lives. Now, he's already done this, naturally, but he's doing this each and every day. And people's lives, as they bow their knee and bow their heart, today is a good day to remind ourselves, this is how he entered my life.
Yes.
Amen? And this is how he remains in my life.
Right.
So number one, Jesus, you know, he came, he fulfilled prophecy. You know, when we go through the scriptures, you know, if you were to spend time and actually study everything the Old Testament has to say about the coming Messiah, Jesus fulfilled it all. Now, in this account, as he's entering the city, one of the things they keep saying is Jesus riding in on this donkey and riding in. Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the king, capital K, not little king, the king. The king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of that donkey. In the biblical times, a donkey has a different meaning than it kind of does today. Today, the donkey kind of has this meaning of like this beast of burden. But in this day, in biblical times, when dignitaries, when kings, when rulers, when authorities would show up riding a donkey, it showed and signified not only their position, but it showed that they came in peace. They were coming to bring peace. They were coming and they were bringing victory along with them. But they were coming peaceably. They weren't coming to conquer and demand. They were coming with peace. Just as Jesus has entered into our lives. He came with peace. He brought peace. His name is the Prince of Peace. Yes. Amen. Jesus leads. He doesn't drive. Yes, the scriptures, there's no suggestions in the scriptures. They're commandments. But he'll lead you in the commandments. He doesn't drive you to them. If we're going to do it his way and have what he says, we got to do it his way. But he'll lead us in those things. He'll show us how to walk these things. He doesn't drive us with a whip. Religion does that. Religion makes it about flesh. Religion makes it about man. Religion makes it about all the do's and don'ts. Jesus says, you can't do the do's without me. And you won't do the don'ts without me. But I'll help you. I'll help lead you in these things. I'll help show you how to do these things. I'll anoint you. I'll empower you to be able to do these things and get the victories in your life that will bring the peace that you need in those areas of your life. Jesus came. He entered our lives just as he did the city in peace. And he's still doing it today. In the midst of chaos, some of us have testimony. Some of us have stories. When we finally bowed our knees to Jesus, we bowed our heart to Jesus. It's amazing. In most cases, we were living in the most chaotic times of our lives, but we bowed our knee, and it's amazing how much peace that the Prince brought. And it started to minister peace. It started to bring peace to our thinking, to our emotions, maybe depending on where you were at, maybe into your physical body based upon what you were doing and what you were chasing. Jesus brings peace with him. When he comes into a person's life and they become what we call a believer, a Christian, they become born again. Jesus brings peace first. And in his peace, he's able to work and do everything else that he wants to do in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So again, biblical times, the donkey was common, but it carried that picture. So when Jesus is riding the donkey from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, isn't it funny that when he comes back again, he won't be coming back on a donkey that next time?
That's right.
He'll be entering in the same way. That time he'll be entering in on the white stallion. He'll be the conquering king at that part. Amen. But he entered into our lives. He entered into the city the same way. Peace. Amen. And again, that donkey not only represented peace, but also peaceful intentions. And I want to stress that. Jesus doesn't drive. Satan drives. We all know that. We live that. If we didn't meet Jesus in Sunday school and we lived any life without Jesus, we know Satan was, he was a taskmaster.
Yes.
He was an abuser. He tormented, he tortured, he drove, kept us bound. But Jesus, his intentions are peace. His intentions are to bring peace. His intentions are to bring hope, life, salvation to us. Amen. Isaiah says, and we just mentioned it, but Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. He's a gift.
Yes.
He's a gift to be received. Amen. With that gift comes everything that he is. God doesn't do the old switch, bait and switch. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give you this, and just kidding. No, when he gave us his son, he gave us his son. When his son brought peace, his son is still bringing peace. Amen. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The day is coming. We know it. The day is coming where he's going to establish his millennial reign on this earth. And he will rule this earth. But right now, the governor, this is what governs us. He starts writing this in here. The government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yes.
His name shall be called Wonderful. You meet Jesus Christ, you really meet him. Not the image of, not somebody's perception of, but when you meet the real Jesus of the Holy Scriptures, nothing short of wonderful. What he begins to do in your life, how he begins to work in your life, the peace that he, just peace alone,
yeah.
The peace that he brings, nothing short of wonderful. Counselor. He's our counselor. Now that has, you know, he'll counsel us, he'll deal with us, but he's also our legal representation. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because I don't know about you. I know law. I know things about law. I understand law, but I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to stand before the judge one day without proper counsel. And Jesus is our counselor. because of what he's done and what he's still doing in our lives. Amen. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus brings peace. Amen. The second thing that we can take from Palm Sunday and the accounts we just read, the people cut down and they were waving and laying down palm branches. They laid them down in the road for Jesus to walk upon. Now the palm branch, again, biblical times, represented goodness and victory. Here he is, the triumphant entry. The king is triumphantly entering into the city. He's entering into the city victoriously. He's bringing peace, but he's entering victoriously. And as he walked upon, as those branches were laid down, it represented not only his goodness, but the victory that he brings. Amen. Now, of course, you know, the victory, we understand today that the disciples didn't understand some of the things that were going on until after Jesus was glorified. They looked forward. We're looking back. We can see what he's already done. We understand what he's already done. We understand what he paid for. The victory was not him entering into a city. The victory was not merely him raising Lazarus from the dead, though we saw that in one of the accounts. That's what drew people. They saw, wait a minute, this man has authority over death. People die around him, and he says, not today. Get up. Who is this man? You and I, we look back, we go, he was no mere man. He took on the form of a man, but this is God. He didn't just raise the dead. He didn't just resurrect the dead. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Amen. The victory that he's walking down, it's a symbolic of what was about to happen at the end of the week. We look backwards because he's already paid the price. He's already gotten the victory. The victory is over death itself. Now, death for you and I is different than death with God.
Right.
It carries this one similar facet, separation. When somebody dies on this earth, we're separated. With God, it's a little bit different. With God, it's eternal. The victory that Jesus got is over eternal separation. That you and I would never have to be. If we are, we choose to be. But you don't have to be ever separated from our God.
Amen.
We can have the same testimony that Paul spoke of himself. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
The victory that Jesus brought in this week, at the conclusion of this week, next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
Solidified, proved that Jesus Christ was not a mere man, that he is the Son of the living God. He is God. He is the resurrection. He is the life. That all the things that he did, he paid it and paid it in full.
Thank you, Lord.
The victory, Palm Sunday, is a picture of that victory over death itself, over sin, over grave, the grave, over Satan. Adam did it. He cost it. But we can blame Adam all we want. Every one of us would have done it too. Adam sinned. Because of that, sin entered. And because of that, a price, a penalty has to be paid. Jesus said, well, God, but we... God said in the garden that day, the day you eat of this tree, you will die.
Right.
Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. That hasn't changed. Death is separation. Separation from God. Man was separated in the garden from God because of what Adam did. But God would not allow Adam to cover that sin the way he wanted to. It said that Adam and Eve, when they recognized that they were naked, that naked, we've got the carnal thinking. Running around, streaking. No, the covering of God was no longer upon them.
Right.
The protection, the anointing of God was no longer upon them. Right. The very thing that allowed them to be in the presence of God himself. The Bible tells us that God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. Moses later on would say, Lord, I want to see your face. And God says, you can't. No human can look upon me and live. I don't care. May I die, but I want to see your face. I love the heart of Moses. And God knew he would not let up on it. Fine. Fine. All right. I knew this day was coming, so I cut a little groove in this mountain. I'm going to stuff your face in there because I know you're not going to let up on this. But when I walk by and I give you permission, then you can turn. You won't see my face, but you'll recognize my anointing. But God said, in that day, you will die. Man was separated from God. Though he didn't die naturally, that would come. He died spiritually. Every one of us, we're dead spiritually. This is why we need this great gift. We call it, the scriptures, it's salvation. It's the work of Christ. It's the work of Calvary. We bow our knee to, and those that believe with their hearts, confess with their mouths, shall be saved. Amen. So when he enters into the city, you know, now almost 2,000 years ago, he was paying the way so you and I could be here today, sitting in a church like this today, to experience the anointing and the presence of God today, but not just here at Higher Ground Ministries at 186 Central Street, but each and every day that you live, each and every day that you breathe, each and every day that you walk, you can enjoy the presence of God no matter where you are. That you can live in the presence of God. Jesus paid for that. He had to deal with what sin brought. This is why back in the garden, Adam couldn't cover himself the way he wanted to. God said, I said something has to die. Now it's either you or God killed an animal. Clothed man with that animal. It wasn't the animal that brought the covering. It was the blood that brought the covering. This is why the New Testament tells us that you and I are to put on Christ. When we're born again, we're putting on Christ. He paid the price so we don't have to. So the victory, death, the grave, the penalty of sin, not permission to sin, not the right so you can keep sinning, but the penalty that sin brought, because sin brings separation from God, not just here on this earth, but for all of eternity. Thank you, Jesus. That triumphant entry. We look back saying, yes, thank you, Jesus. You went all the way. They may not have understood it then, but they did later on. We understand it now. You purchased. You paid the price. Amen. Amen. Of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, it's not natural death. We're talking about separation from God. Amen? Third thing that we see on Palm Sunday with what's going on, because this was not some quiet event. We just saw it in a couple of the accounts. The whole city was moved. The city was moved long before they even got to the city. Here comes Jesus with his disciples, but now he's surrounded front and back. This great procession of people shouting, rejoicing, celebrating, saying, Hosanna in the highest. See, terminology today we may not quite understand. In that day, they fully understood. What's going on? Who are they worshiping? The Pharisees had a problem with it. Religious folk always have a problem when somebody's excited when Jesus comes on the scene. But this cry of adoration, Hosanna, means, simply put, save now. Save now. Jesus, save us now. Jesus has come to save us now. When Jesus enters into our life, that very first time, he came to save us now. Not down the road, but right now. This is why we even see in the scriptures, today, say today.
Today.
Today is the day of salvation. Amen. The longer you live, you find this out, usually the hard way. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. When Jesus was entering into the city, though their mindset was on the natural things, they're saying, today salvation has come. Today our God has come to save us. Today our God has come to deal with us. Today our God has come to deliver us. You don't have to continue living the way you're living. You don't have to continue thinking the way that you're thinking. You don't have to continue living under what you're living under. Jesus has come to save us. Now, just because he came to do it doesn't mean he will. You got to have that heart to say, Lord, I want this. They're shouting, they're rejoicing, they're celebrating. Salvation has come today. Psalm 118, 25. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. When Jesus comes, he brings his blessing. Jesus doesn't show up, and he didn't show up in any of our lives saying, all right, I'm here. Now you got to get A, B, X, Y, and Z all together before I'll communion with you. You don't have to get all these things in order before I'll bring my peace to you. You don't have to get all these things. No, 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 that's not our Jesus. He came and he said, listen, I'm going to take you as you are, but I won't leave you where you're at. I'll receive you as you are, but I'm not going to accept you as you are. But I'll bring you out of this and I'll bring you into where I want you to be. Amen. They're saying salvation is here. I don't know about you. And everybody's got a different story. Everybody's got a different background. Some people, theirs is drugs, alcohol. Other people's anger, rage. Others, it's gossip and slander. You go down the list, somebody has something in here that we were bound to, tied to, tormented by. And when Jesus showed up, some people, it's tragedies. It's events from their past. Maybe nothing you've done or lived in, but something that just happened, and it's just keeping you bound. You're living at the gravestone, the tombstones of different issues of your past. And Jesus said, I've come not only to bring peace, but I've come to deliver you from that tombstone. Yes. I've come to bring you out of that place. I've come to strengthen you. I've come to bless you so you don't have to live there anymore. Right. Amen. Yes. Amen. You know, I love the madman of Gadara. Yeah. Man, this poor guy, and I think that's a proper way to say it, this poor guy, how he got these demons, we don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. But this poor man is tormented by thousands of demons. Legion was its name. Thousands. You think your neighbor is a demon. That's just your neighbor. That's just a human. This man is tormented internally, mentally, spiritually by demons that are now living on the inside of him. Oh, that's still happening today. But here he is tormented. But what I love about that account is even in that tormented state, even being driven by those demons, something within him, when Jesus showed up on the scene, that man ran to the feet of Jesus, didn't run from. No matter how bad those demons are tormented, no matter how bad they're lying, no matter how bad they're driving, something is within us that we still have the ability to get to the feet of Jesus where our deliverance is. The demons could not prevent that man to getting to the feet of Jesus. Because if those demons were smart and had the ability, they would have prevented that man from ever getting there. But they couldn't stop him. Just like nothing can stop you from getting to the presence of Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop you from getting to the anointing power of Jesus Christ. Nothing can prevent you. Nothing out here can prevent you. Now you can. But nothing out here can. Satan can't. Demons can't. It doesn't matter how many demons there are. They can't stop you from getting to the feet of Jesus. Amen. Salvation has come now. Right now, each and every time we come to church, now you can wake up every day with the same attitude, with the same thought, but something happens when we come together like this. We know that. There's freedom here. There's liberty here. There's more faith in here because there's more of us putting our faith together. There's more expectation here because there's more of us praying before service, not playing on our Facebook. There's more of us coming prepared to get into his presence, not to get into everybody else's presence. Right. Yeah. That when we do this and we come together, where two or more are gathered in his name, not your name, his name, he's there in our midst. That when we show up in church where God is welcomed, God is permitted, and God has liberty, all things start to happen. Salvation is here. His working anointing is here. Amen. That's why I'm telling you right now, you better get ready. Yes. You're about to see some things. Hallelujah. Like some of you have only heard about, others have read about, but most of us remember. Yes. The anointing power of God happening just during a worship service. Oh, yeah. Somebody getting free during tithes and offerings. Somebody getting delivered and healed just by the greeters at the door. Because somebody came prepared knowing today's the day of salvation. Yes. Salvation is here today. Because Jesus is here today. Amen. Romans 10, I've referenced it. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved. Koine Greek, sozo.
Yeah.
Saved, healed, delivered, made whole, made to prosper. That word sozo, saved, has five major elements to it. Prosper, I unfortunately, I always kind of have to go here for a moment. That doesn't mean money in your bank account. That means advancement in the things of God. God doesn't want you just delivered from one thing. He wants you delivered from everything. God doesn't want you having peace in one realm of your life. He wants peace in every realm of your life. He doesn't want to just see anointing in one part of your life. He wants his anointing flowing in every facet of your life. Amen. God doesn't want you just hearing from him here in church. He wants you hearing from him on the job site, in the workplace, when Tim's serving and he's protecting our communities. He needs to hear from God out there on the beat. Amen. That when God says, all right, be on guard right now because there's evil around the corner. He needs to hear from God then and here, but then more importantly, as he's protecting and serving the community. Our firefighters, as they're out there serving and going into the burnt building, they need to hear the anointing and the presence of God, the voice of God. When they enter in, don't open that door because this thing could go up right now. Now, we may not get that. Firefighters understand that. They need to hear from God there too, not just here. You need to feel the peace and the joy and the strength here. Yes, but outside there more so. Because I've only got you for a few moments. I'm rapidly running out of time. But I've only got you here for a few moments. God's got you out there all week long.
Yes.
And he wants to stay with you all week long out there. Amen. So if we believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths, you shall be saved. Amen. Verse 10 goes on, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's the key, believes unto righteousness. God is not content with leaving you where you're at. You may not be where you want to be, but thank you, Jesus, you're not where you were yesterday.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus, you're not where you were before you bowed your knee to him, because before that, you were going to hell. Not by his design, not by his intent, not by his purpose. It's God's will that all men would come to repentance. That's why he sent his son. But before you bowed your knee to Jesus, before you confessed him as Lord, you were going to hell.
Yep.
Something changed.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jesus, I'm not who I was yesterday. But I know tomorrow I'm not going to be the same man I am today.
Amen.
Amen. So man believes with his heart unto righteousness that God will not leave me in the state that I'm in.
That's right.
I'm going to find his kingdom. I'm going to walk into his kingdom. And my life is going to represent his kingdom.
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't say seek him. It says seek his kingdom.
Yeah.
Seek his righteousness. By default, you find him.
That's right.
By default, you walk with him. See, most people are just looking for him as a means of get me out of trouble. But he's saying, oh, no, no, no. It goes a little deeper than that, son. It goes a little deeper than that, daughter. Seek my kingdom, because I got a better way for you to live. I've got a much better way for you to live. Amen. So you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is not just simply saying a prayer. I say it this way. The prayer is where it starts.
Yes.
It's not a once and done deal.
That's right.
Your confession will begin to declare what you're living. If you're chasing his kingdom and his righteousness, your mouth starts to confess that. Your mouth starts to speak that. You can't live the way you were talking. You can't act the way you were, you know, were acting. You can't do the things that you were doing. You can't chase the things that you were chasing. Because when you start chasing his kingdom, you start to find out that doesn't fit in his kingdom. It's not permitted in his kingdom. Therefore, my life is going to shift and adjust to his kingdom. Amen. They're yelling, Hosanna. Salvation has come. Salvation has been made. You and I, we're living that. We're experiencing that. We're enjoying that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here's something a little bit sobering in this whole moment. Everything's celebratory. Everything's, you know, excitement and shouting and praising and glory to God. But Jesus has a moment. It says that Jesus wept. He wasn't moved with, oh, they love me. They want me. No. He wept over the city.
Yeah.
And he makes some pretty powerful statements. Let me sum it down to this. The excitement's going to last but for a moment. Most of you, he's praying, he's weeping over Jerusalem. Most of you, you're not going to hang on to this. Most of you got a glimpse, and that's all this was. And you're going to lose this within a week. He's still, I believe that Jesus is still weeping today.
Yes.
Over the excitement in churches all over our planet. Every generation that's ever been, so nothing's new, nothing's changed. This is in his day as well. That he weeps over because he's like, I know this is going to be but for a moment for some of them. I wish it wasn't a moment for some of them. I wish this was, they just got it and they walked in this. Because even the scriptures say it would, for those who meet, walk, and then walk away, it would have been better for them if they had never. That's New Testament. It would have been better for them if they had never. Jesus, I believe, is still weeping for some saints today. May it be nobody in here. But he still is. Why? Because he loves us so much.
Yes.
He paid a price for each and every one of us that we don't have to. Amen. And of course, this was back in Luke chapter 19, back verses 40 and 41, where it says he enters in and he weeps over Jerusalem. So when we meet Jesus, this is why we don't keep ourselves stirred up with excitement. We got to be excited, got to be excited. Let's all yell, jump, shout, praise God, hallelujah. And that's what keeps, no, it's your walk with him. Dr. Summerall said, it's your want to.
Yes.
It's not what you can do, it's your want to. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to chase that? Why don't you want to chase the one who brings peace? Why don't you want to live with that, with Jesus? Why don't you want him working in your life? Why do you want to go back to? Why do you want to chase these things? It's your want to.
So
I think that's, we could say it this way respectfully without violating any scriptures. Jesus weeps over your want to.
Wow.
Because he knows some want him and others only want him for a moment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bring them to where it's supposed to. See, this is one of those things. Palm Sunday, it begins Holy Week for us. It begins this whole celebratory week for us because salvation was made this week for us. You and I are going to heaven because of this week. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to heaven because of the work that was accomplished this week. All the signs, miracles, and wonders that happened. Most of our tests, most of our doctrines are based on this week. And what Jesus has done, the victories we can walk in. How shameful. How tragic to get excited for a week, 1 week a year, and then live the rest of the year as if it doesn't matter or this week never happened. Now, I used to call Christians, certain Christians, Creaster Christians. You know those Christians who only show up at Christmas and Easter? The birth of and the resurrection of? They ain't showing up anymore. You think Jesus isn't weeping right now? Looking down on his creation saying, I made a way. I paved the way. I paved the way. They don't have to. Why do they want to? No. May it not be us or anybody attached to us. Amen. The fifth thing that we can look at, and we pull from this, Palm Sunday reminds us the reign of Christ is far greater than anything that man could have planned. His work is greater than anything man could have planned. Now they're saying, they're celebrating, they're shouting Hosanna because they're saying salvation has come. They're saying it, our champion is here. The conquering king is here. He's going to deal with Rome right now. Because you remember, they're under occupancy. Pretty much Jerusalem, the entire city is a prisoner of war. The Roman Empire seized it. This isn't God's land anymore. Well, granted, you can't take away from God what is his. But man has conquered. Man has set up. Man has put its own rules in there. Man has brought their gods into this. So Jerusalem is celebrating, saying, finally, if he can raise the dead, he can deal with Caesar. They're celebrating because they missed how he came the first time. And even the scriptures told us this is how he was coming. meek. Meek doesn't mean weak. Meek means restrained power, restrained authority. God is God. He has no equal. God has no adversary. You and I have an adversary. His name is the devil. He seeks whom he may devour. He's got to get permission to do it. But he's our adversary, not God's. God's thought about Satan, Lucifer, booting him out of heaven so fast he was like a streak of lightning. There was no epic battle in heaven. Lucifer thought, God said go. That's how quick that was. However, when Israel thought he's got the power to raise the dead, he's got the power to kill, get rid of, drive out Caesar. Man always thinks about the moment. God says, oh, no, this goes much deeper. This goes much further. My salvation isn't just for you, the apple of my eye. This salvation is for the very ones also who have occupied you. This salvation goes to the Greek and the Gentile as well. This salvation goes to every human being that's on this planet. Not just those who are born of Jewish descent, but those who walk this planet because they're all my creation. My plan goes deeper. My plan goes further. I've got to go all the way in this so I can save everybody who wants me. God's plan goes far deeper than anything we ever could have imagined. That includes your life now today. He came into our life. He brought peace into our life. He doesn't drive us. He leads us. And when he comes in, he's not satisfied, so don't you ever be satisfied. He comes into our lives to deliver you from every issue, every problem. He doesn't want to just deal with one thing and get you to heaven so you live like you're in hell down here. He wants you to live and walk like you're going to heaven down here, like you're already enjoying heaven right now, because you've got a glimpse of heaven because you're walking with the one who's brought victory into your life, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His salvation goes far deeper than any man seems to understand, even still today. Because in a lot of our churches today, we're kind of preaching and teaching that this Jesus wants to save you up here only. As long as you feel good up here, who cares about everything else? It's not an internal salvation. It's an eternal salvation. Amen. He didn't come so you feel good about where you're at. He came to deliver you from where you're at. He didn't come here so you can just be, okay, well, I've got hope and peace while I'm dying. No, he came to bring health, life, and strength to you so you can live. Amen. Now, the Bible does say it, that you and I were to be found worthy to escape all the things that are coming. But that word escape doesn't mean, okay, we're just going to get out of here by the skin of our teeth. A phrase my father-in-law used to say, I really don't even know where it came from, but he said it all the time, so I like it. No, he came to save us that we can thrive while we're down here. Thrive in our walk with God. Thrive in our peace. Thrive in our joy. Thrive in our understanding. Thrive in the anointing of God. That the delivering power of Jesus Christ is working in all facets of our life. Not just your Sunday morning once a year. But each and every day that you wake up, each and every day that you go out, each and every day that you function and live on this planet, that you are living under the anointing of Jesus Christ and bringing his anointing every place that you go. Amen? Amen. So when Jesus came, it reminds us that his plan goes far deeper than you, sweetheart. His plan goes far deeper than just restoring your marriage. His plan goes far deeper than just bringing your child back home. His plan goes far deeper than putting a few bucks in your pocket. His plan goes to saving you, to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your employer. You keep going down the list. Any person you come in contact with, God wants that working in all realms, all areas of your life. It goes far beyond you. Amen? Palm Sunday is more than just celebrating the fact that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. This is how he came into our lives. He brought peace, and he's still bringing peace. He doesn't drive, he leads. But in it, we start to experience and enjoy the victories. We start to realize, wait a minute, I'm not talking how I used to talk. I'm not thinking the way I used to think. I'm not acting the way I used to act. Wait a minute, I don't feel the way I used to feel. Amen? Because when God comes, he doesn't just show up on a Sunday and then that's it. He's working each and every day. He's leading us in His ways. He's leading us in His things. He's helping us not just to merely say it by faith, but that we can start to say it as a witness, that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, if we are to continue this story in these accounts, and in fact, I encourage you to go read this. It's Holy Week. You have no excuse not to. It's Holy Week. This week belongs to God. Now, every day belongs to God. We know that. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But some of you aren't there yet. So this is Holy Week. Go read these accounts and go further with it, because what you'll see next, he comes into the city triumphantly. He's welcomed into the city by the people, not the Pharisees, but by the people. The very next thing he does is he goes into the temple. He goes to church. The first thing he does, which is the same thing he did to each and every one of our lives, he starts to drive out all the wrong spirits.
Yes.
He goes into the temple and he drives out all the money changers. Why? To drive out the money changers? No. Yes. But because they had distorted, religion had distorted what's supposed to happen in the temple. Religion has distorted what's supposed to be happening in our church services. Religion has distorted what's supposed to be happening in believers' lives. When he drove out the money changers, when he drove out those spirits that were driving those money changers, the very next thing, signs, miracles, wonders, healings began to take place. The same thing happened in our lives, and we've got the testimonies that prove it. When God moved in, demons moved out. When God moved in, healing came in. Sickness had to go. When God moved in, joy came back. Joy came in. Peace came in. Chaos had to leave. Did it change anything here? No, we live here. I'd love to tell you, you meet Jesus Christ and everything would be perfect in your life. I just have one problem with that. Jesus said it won't happen. In this life, you shall. Life itself is going to throw some things at you. Have you experienced life? Have you experienced issues? I know the answer to that. But man, when you find out that you can walk with this Jesus, and in the middle of chaos, he can bring peace. In the middle of fear, he can bring his joy. In the middle of confusion, he can bring clarity. Come on. When you meet Jesus, he brings everything that comes with his peace. Today starts Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday. It should be a reminder to each and every one of us. And I think we're all, most of you are shaking your head going, yeah, you're right. I know you know this. You don't need me to remind you, but sometimes we do need a reminder. You're right. When he came in, things began to change. When he came in, peace came. When he came in, man, there was an excitement I once had because I was seeing God move. My father-in-law again, you know, he'd always give like the little marriage counsel illustration type deal. You know, two people in the truck. The guy's driving, because it's always the guy who drives the truck. No offense to you ladies who have trucks. I'm just thinking about my truck. My truck, I drive my truck. But the wife was right beside. The guy's still driving, but the wife moved over. The guy didn't move. Who moved? Now, don't be that guy that puts something in the middle so she can't sit there. Now, come on. Who moved?
Right.
See, we preach these things not just because, well, it's Palm Sunday. This is what you're supposed to preach. No, to remind ourselves. If you've met Jesus, you're walking with Jesus, we got to go back and remind ourselves from time to time. Wait a minute. When he came in, it brought all these things. I'm not enjoying these things once again. He didn't move. You did. So just go back to where you once were, and you'll have what you once had. And if you've never experienced this before, this is how it worked for all of us. This is how it works for everybody. When you allow and you invite Jesus into your life, he doesn't come in as a dictator. He comes in as that leader. He leads you in his ways. He'll show you and help you and anoint you to be able to walk these things out so you can be that new creation in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, stand to your feet this morning. I want to pray for you and I want to pray over you. Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior. Yes, into Jerusalem, but thank you, Jesus, we had that day. Whatever that day was for you, back in the 70s, back in the 60s, 80s, Sunday school, job site, workplace. My pastor was in the battlefields of Vietnam. God can meet you wherever you're at. He doesn't need a church. He doesn't need an altar. I know my pastor, he led his brother to the Lord over the phone as his brother was driving truck. God doesn't need an altar to do it. He'll bring that altar wherever he needs to. He just needs a bowed knee. He just needs a bowed heart that said, you know what? I'm tired of doing this my way. I keep making a mess of things. I'm tired of doing it the way I want to because it's not working. Lord, I'm bowing my knee to you today. Lead me. Amen. And he'll bring his peace. That's the very first thing he brings is peace. He'll start to calm the storms. Doesn't mean that the storm is gone, but he'll start to lead you out of that storm. He'll start to direct you how to get out of it and how to stay out of it. Amen. Amen. Everybody lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you. This is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week for us. Lord, we're so grateful that we have so many things that have been documented for us, the scriptures, the accounts that we can preach and teach out of them. We don't get hung up on the title, it's Holy Week, so this is the only week something can happen. No, but it needs to be a great reminder to us of everything you did during this week period. You went all the way. You paid every price that needs to be paid. As we continue with this week, Lord, we know it in this house, but I'm praying this. As we continue to talk about these things, we talk about your blood shed. It reminds us of every victory that it's brought for us. Salvation, deliverance, peace, joy, strength. We can be covered by your blood. Because of your blood, our past has been washed white as snow. Lord, I just thank you right now. For those of us who need to be reminded of these things, may this week remind us and strengthen it and stir things up in us once again. But for Lord, those who have never heard any of this, those who don't know any of this, maybe those, as the word says, one sows, another comes and waters. It can be the exact same word, same exact message. One planted it, another person watered it. But Lord, we're praying today, you get your increase. Because no man can do that, only you do that. But what an honor it is to be part of that. What an honor it is to be a witness of that. Not just in our own lives, but when we can help lead somebody else to you. So Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, if there's anybody in here right now who has never bowed their knee to you, bowed their heart to you, bowed their life to you, may today be their day of salvation. May today be their day that they meet you. May this not just be Palm Sunday on the calendar, but may this be Palm Sunday in their lives. So, Father, I thank you right now. As we're just thanking you, we're praying to you right now that you're helping all of us. I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us examine our hearts as we stand here. Have we really met you? Have we really bowed our hearts and our knees to you? Or has this just been religion to us? We know we do this because this is what we've always been trained to do. This is what we've done as a family. This is what we've done in our family cultures, traditions, our backgrounds. Different cultures have different things that they all follow, but some of them don't know why they follow it. We're not judging that. We're judging us right now. Have we really met you? And that's what I'm praying right now over every one of us in here, to examine your heart. Not looking at your neighbor or thinking about your neighbor, or maybe your neighbor's your spouse. It's not about them right now, it's about you. Every one of us has to have that moment. Nobody's exempt. Even our kids, they'll come to that age of what we call it, the age of accountability. They're going to have to make their choice. Scripturally, we understand there's a season and a time that they're under mom and dad's authority. But there comes a time where they've got to make a choice. This isn't just mom and dad's Jesus. This has to become their Jesus, their Savior. So Lord, deal with us right now. Even the word says it's your spirit that draws us to you. I know you're dealing with some people in here right now. So Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Scriptures that remind us. We just talked about five things, five basic little quick things. There's so much more to this. So Lord, I thank you. You're working in us right now. You're dealing with us right now. I know you're tugging on some hearts even right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for coming into our lives like you did so many of our lives. Now, before we dismiss, this is my altar call. Not the prayer that we're just praying. I'm praying so you just kind of examine your heart. Think about some of the things we've been preaching and teaching here this morning. The altar call is, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that this has only been religion to you, I'm not knocking that. Thank God that you at least had that background. Most of us, we came into this kingdom at least having a foundation because of the denomination we came out of. Thank God for that foundation. But that foundation, we found out very quickly that wasn't getting us to heaven. We're grateful for the foundation. But had we died during that season of time, we'd probably be in hell. Thank you, Jesus, that God sent somebody to bring the gospel to us, not just religion to us. But I'm going to ask right now, because I do believe this. I believe that the day is getting more severe. I believe that if you come into God's kingdom boldly, you'll stay boldly in his kingdom. I'm going to ask that if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and you want to today, come up here right now. We'll pray for you. Jesus died openly on a cross for us. He gave everything for us. You can just look at me, ma'am. If you turn around, there you go. We've got these nice religious pictures of our Jesus. They stripped him naked and nailed him to a cross. Isaiah said that you could barely even distinguish him as being a man, a human. He was so beaten and bloodied. He hung there on purpose. They didn't put him there. He put himself there. Now, you can think what you want about Mr. Mel Gibson. He's got his own issues. But the Passion of the Christ, I think he did a pretty fine job with that movie. And that doesn't even come close to how our Savior looked. He did that boldly for every one of us. I think we can come to him boldly. Amen. I'm just going to give this another moment. If there's anybody else, come up here. I know there is, but, you know, I know some people say, well, the pastor always says that, just so one more. No, I already know there is somebody else, but that's, we don't entice, we don't move. I just want to give you that opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody lift your hands to heaven right now. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this week. Everything about this week should bring us closer to you. Help our walk to be stronger because of you. Because very soon, we're all going to be with you. That's the goal. So, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you that you came to this earth, that you fulfilled the assignment. You went all the way for us. And now we get to walk with you and very soon go be with you. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for our sister who was bold enough to walk up here. Lord, I thank you for that right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ma'am. Hi. Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord? In Nigeria. Okay. Okay. So this is kind of you just rededicating your life, getting back where you need to be. You want to get close to God? Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I could kind of tell by what was going on over there earlier today that God was doing something. God was working on some things. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you know, our ushers, they do their thing just to make sure everybody's safe and okay. But I knew what was going on was not a distraction. God's been dealing with you today, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You live around here? Pine Street. Okay,
yeah.
So you're right around the corner. All right. Praise God. All right. Thank you for being bold to walk up here. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Father, church, stretch your hands and pray with me right now. Father, we thank you right now. What's your name?
Adi. Adesua. Adi. Adi. That's Adesua.
Adesua.
Yeah.
Adesua. I'm going to try not to butcher that, so don't be mad at me. Adesua.
Adi.
I can say that without hurting that.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for our sister Adi. Lord, thank you for that you brought her here this morning. Lord, I thank you that you've been dealing with her all this service. I could see that even while I was preaching, not just during worship. Lord, I thank you right now that she's got the boldness to come up here to stand at your altar in front of strangers. But she just wants to get closer to you. So, Father, I thank you right now for that boldness that brought her here to stand her here right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you say this after me? Lord Jesus, I stand at your altar, bowing my heart once again before you. Lord, I thank you for meeting me here today. And being here today with me. Lord, I'm bowing my heart and
my life
to you right now, that all my days I will walk with you.
I will follow you.
My life is your life.
Thank you
for saving me.
Thank you
for healing me.
Thank you
for helping me in all areas of my life. Lord, I thank you.
Lord,
I repent
for
ever walking away from you.
Today,
I'm home
and never leaving.
In Jesus' name,
thank you
for receiving me again.
In
Jesus'
name.
Now, Father, I thank you right now. Lord, help her, strengthen her, encourage her, surround her with people that are going to help her in her walk, in her pursuit, to just walk with you all the days of her life. Father, I thank you right now, whatever area in her life that she needs healing, you're the healer. You're the master at healing things. You're the master at restoring things. Lord, I thank you right now. I speak over her family. Lord, I thank you. You're going to help and strengthen and encourage her to help lead others in her family back to you. Lord, I thank you for the peace that's going to be on her, not just today, but each and every day, as she purposes to walk with you, to be with you, as you lead her in every realm of her life. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name for our sister. Lord, just continue to bless her, strengthen her. I thank you for healing in her mind, her soul, her body. I thank you for peace. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices. Heaven's rejoicing right now. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. Everybody lift your hands to heaven. Paris, if you're coming up here, come up here. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for today. We thank you for this entire week. Lord, we thank you for what you started here this morning. We'll leave with us. Not leave us, leave with us. We're taking this home with us. We're taking this into the highways and the byways. Lord, we're taking your anointing, your presence. We're taking your word with us. And Lord, we thank you. Oh, our best days are still ahead of us. Today is a good day. It's a good day because it's your day. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we thank you right now for our sister. We thank you. Continue to strengthen and encourage her. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of us that you're with us today. Lord, we speak Psalm 91, protection over us. Lord, we thank you for your divine protection. Lord, we thank you for Psalm 23. We know full well where we live. It's dark and death all around us. However, there's no fear here, because we are leaving this valley of death and darkness, and we are charging your mounds of victory. So, Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory in Jesus' name. Shout amen. Yeah. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.